time.
Madeline Dennis.
It's an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak at this retreat. This retreat means a lot to me. I've been coming to this retreat longer than I've been clean, because I would always get released from jail, like, in July, and, you know, I'd try to get clean and, like, appease Judge Pia, whatever, and as I would always get back in the rooms, and I've come here, and I've made this retreat for years before I made a decision to actually live this program. I hate speaking on topics because it's hard to get out of the way when I'm trying to think about the topic. This is a good one, though. This is with membership comes responsibility. And that's something that I feel is very important. It's very important to me. It's something that has been instilled in me on my process. When I first came around to the rooms, I didn't take this seriously. I came around for years, and I got slip signed, and I looked for reasons to disqualify myself from all of you, and I really wasn't even aware of what was going on here because I didn't want to be a member. And, you know, our current tradition talks about, like, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And it wasn't until that I had that desire that I actually was a member of Narcotics Anonymous. All those years that I came to get a slip sign or to appease a judge or a job, I was, for myself, I was not a member at all. What I found is that, like our readings say, everything in our readings is like comes true at some point, and like it says, in desperation, we found each other in Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got desperate, I was beaten, and I became willing. And when I came here and I opened my eyes up, and I realized that there was no way for me to live other than Narcotics Anonymous, then I became a member. You know, I had the desire, and I still didn't get what was going on. I can remember at one point I came in and did like the three-step shuffle a couple times after I was willing. After I wanted to be a member. And I can remember saying to my sponsor at one point, people were coming to meetings high, and I said, if the only requirement is the desire to stop using, and they're coming to meetings high, then they don't have the desire, so they shouldn't be allowed to come in, you know. And my sponsor just laughed. A couple months after that, I was high in a meeting. Totally changed my perspective on that, you know. So what I've come to understand is that being a member is all about the individual. You know, whether you're high, whether you're not, like, nobody can measure the desire, you know. But the other aspect of that, too, also is when I did make a decision to live this, and I did make a decision to, like, be part of by taking part in, like, with my home group and, like, setting up chairs and, like, taking it on a personal level, like a commitment level of like being part of this. One of my predecessors down in my area, he came up to me after a meeting one time. I think I had like maybe 6 months, and I was involved doing a lot of stuff. And he came up and he said to me, you know, he'd watched me come in and out for years, and he said, you know, we are members when we say we are, but at some point we actually join. And I understood what he meant. Because that's what I did, you know, and I for years I felt like on the outskirts and not part of, because I didn't take part in. I didn't understand the importance or take part in group conscience. Like, it was like inconvenience because, you know, the football game was on or whatever it was. And it wasn't until like I really started like taking a deep look through gratitude at like, this thing saved my life. And I started like wanting to know about it. I wanted to know how it came about and like who the predecessors were, and they talk about the hard-won experience. I wanted to know what that was, and being a member to me, like, it's become the most important thing in my life. You know, some people I see them get up and get key tagged, and they say, you know, and it gave me a life. It's not my life, and like, For me, that is not the case at all. Narcotics Anonymous is my life because in every area and aspect of my life, all the blessings, all the things I got going on, NA is there. NA is with me all the time. The principles practiced in all my affairs like carries into everything. You know, this taught me how to live. It taught me how to be a father. It taught me how to be a friend. It taught me how to be accountable and responsible. And like any time that I'm doing any of those things, it's Narcotics Anonymous with me. Anytime that I come up in a situation where that I don't know what to do or I feel fear or I'm afraid, there's like 1,000 voices of the message that's been carried to me repeatedly over the years that is with me all the time. Like when people die, loved ones pass away and tragedy happens and people outside these rooms in my family, they look at me and like, how do you do it? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, everybody's waiting for you to get high and you seem like the calmest, most peaceful person. Everybody ends up leaning on you. I said, that's because I got 1,000 people holding me up so all of you can lean on me, you know? So, like, everything that I do, like, in my life is a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything good that I do, not necessarily acting out on a defect. So, for me, I mean, I look at it like there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with that because, like, you hear it all the time about I'm grateful, I'm a grateful addict, I'm grateful, but then, like, if your actions don't support that word, then it's bullshit. You know, I know that myself. I mean, like I look at it in a practical term. Like, if somebody were to give you a place to live and you trashed it, you're not grateful for it. You know what I mean? Narcotics Anonymous, it saves our lives. It's like I said, in desperation, like, we try everything else before we come here and surrender to this. And it turns out to be the one thing that works. The most amazing miracle thing. And it's so easy for us to take it for granted. You know? The responsibility, and for me, like they always say, with freedom comes responsibility. And that's our message. The promise of hope. Or the message of hope and the promise of freedom. And like the freedom that it's given me is like, first when I came around, it gave me freedom from using drugs. At one point, I thought that meant active addiction, but using drugs, it gave me freedom from that. But as I worked through steps and I kept coming around, it gave me freedom from, like, anger and resentment and a little bit more work, and I got from guilt and shame. And, like, and I got freedom on so many levels that, like, I'm no longer defined by my defects. I no longer have that voice. My active addiction is in my ear saying, you ain't worth it. You ain't going to be shit. Give up, what's the point? Like, that's my act of addiction. And if I vigilantly work this program, I can avoid that on a daily basis just for today. Like, I could not have an active disease. So in order to keep that, and for that to happen, like, the responsibility, and it's like, I have to keep showing up. I have to be part of this thing. You know, I mean, like, I look, the gratitude aspect keeps me coming because, like, when I think about my predecessors who were here when I got here, I don't know, man, I came in and I saw them and it's like they had peace. They would, like, be sitting in a meeting and just be calm and cool, and that's something I never had. My mind was always like a hamster wheel running around, and I was going from rage to guilt to shame to, like, all over the place from, like, these few emotions that I could actually identify, but there was never a break. There was never a moment like where I could be in a quiet room just with me and my thoughts. I never had any of that, and there was no freedom in my thoughts. Like, it was always like, what's going on? What am I missing? What's going on down on the block? You know, and when I saw that, that's what I wanted. All I wanted was a little bit of peace. I wanted, like, to stop, and so I sought out my predecessors. Like I said in our reading, like, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, well, I was willing to, like, make the effort. So, like, I sought them out, and they were here. They were here to show me, to guide me, to tell me, to share their experience with me, to allow me to draw hope from identifying with what they had gone through. And so the most important thing for me, the responsibility, is to stay connected and keep showing up. And I do that on a regular basis. And because I do that, I very seldom feel like I really need a meeting. because I am connected. You know, the responsibility end of it is like, and the big thing, I'm going through this situation right now where, like, I'm responsible to, like, carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And, like, that is the message of the program. Because there's this confusion going on, it seems to me, throughout NA, where there's the program and there's the fellowship. And the fellowship is a vital part of the program, but it is not the program. The program is, like, sponsorship and steps and service and goodwill, and like it's so much more, and it's the work, and it's the facing our fears and knocking down boundaries of, you know, our comfort zone, and that's what the program is. That's how we recover. It's not just about compiling clean time. It's about healing and recovering and becoming a better person, you know, living a God-centered life, spiritually centered life. And that's what recovery is. And the fellowship is like hanging out with your friends who are also trying to stay clean. And there's a big confusion going on that people think that the fellowship is the program and that the program is like an option. And so, I mean, like, my responsibility is not to like call people out and shame people, but it's to like talk about the program, to share the message of Narcotics Anonymous, how the steps and the traditions are so important, and like complete abstinence, what, you know, what that is. And again, not shaming anybody, not telling anybody they're not a member, they can't be here, but just be carrying an honest message. And it's gotten to the point where that people come at me and with an attitude for being honest. And I know there's lots of areas in our society where you can't be honest. A lot of business practices, honesty is not smiled upon, you know. A lot of different areas, like the spiritual principles, are not welcome. You know, the political correctness and codependency and all this stuff from, like, therapy coming over into the rooms. And it's just like, if we get to a point in our Narcotics Anonymous where we can't be honest with each other, we're not truthful about the disease and how ugly this thing is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to buy into the illusion that everything is fine and we're all doing good because we're surrounded by people that are staying clean. But the truth is, like, this disease is still killing us. Most of us don't make it here. And most of us who make it here don't stay here. And the majority of addicts out there, they die alone. With people with their friends going through their pockets. You know? Very, very small attendance at their funerals. I mean, that's the reality of the disease. And, like, you know, I was brought up with the message of, like, you know, this is life and death. And it is. And it's gotten to the point where that nobody wants to say anything to anybody. Everybody wants to be like, you know, oh, they're in the process and that's none of my business. And there's just apathy going on. And it's like, I just don't understand it. Because, like, if you're loving and caring to someone and you really do care about them and you see them taking part in a behavior that could potentially kill them, how could you stand by and not say anything? I just don't understand. I'm not saying, like, call them out or shame them, or I'm talking about, like, pulling them aside and lovingly talking to them and, like, telling them, hey, you know, you might want to look at that, or you might want to stop doing that because, you know, whatever. I mean, I look at it like if we saw somebody sticking their finger in an outlet, we would all say, hey, what are you doing? You could die doing that. But in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, nobody wants to say nothing. I mean, like, that truth and being honest with each other, I think it's so important. I think that's our responsibility because, like, you know, the message of Narcotics Anonymous is the message of Narcotics Anonymous. It's not my program or your program. It's the program. And if you want to stay clean, you work the program of NA. And I think that's the biggest responsibility, is to be honest about this thing. And, you know, so that involves, like, showing up. Like I said, that involves sharing honestly what's going on. You know, I just can't even stress how important that I believe that is. And then my other responsibility is, like, sponsorship, giving back, service work. Like, I was taught you get into service, you know, and I do. And I sacrifice my time. And it's not about, like, running, having all the service positions there or anything like that. Like, the most important service that I could do is greet people at my home group. And, like, if I see somebody new who's sitting there looking all mean and hard, trying to keep everybody at bay because they're scared, I can identify because that was me. And I go and I talk to them. My one of my predecessors always tells me, you chat them up. Go grab somebody new and you talk to them. Because, like, the only thing that we can do, I mean, I used to always, like, pull a newcomer aside and try to, like, impress him with some insightful knowledge bombs and be throwing at him, you know, trying to open his mind and make him see what I see. And I've come to find that the only thing that I can do is make somebody feel welcome. Make them want to come back and put their ass in a chair again, you know. Because that's what was done for me. When I got here, what attracted me was not the knowledge. It was not people, what they said. It was the unconditional love that I felt, even though I couldn't identify it. Like, people took time to, like, hug me and say, keep coming back, and to, like, take an interest in me. And the first person that remembered my name, that fucking blew me away. You know? That's the stuff that made me want to come back, because even though I didn't stay clean necessarily, when I was out there, I knew of Narcotics Anonymous. And I knew it was a place that I needed to get back to. You know? And that was powerful. So, you know, service, giving back, like the seventh tradition, everybody thinks that that's just about the money, man. That's not, though. I mean, the spiritual principle behind it is gratitude, and it's about giving. It's about being responsible and giving back. You know, gratefully giving back what was so freely given to you. And, like, when I think back, like, a lot of times in my meditation, I'll think about all the things that people did for me, the selfless help that they gave me, wanting absolutely nothing in return. And, like, there's nothing that connects me to my higher power quicker than that. And I think about that, and it's like, how can I be grateful for that and not do the same thing, not pay it forward to somebody else, you know? And, like, I live this program to the best of my ability. I try, and, like, you know, like we were saying beforehand, in all my affairs, all of them, like, not when I'm at a meeting, not when it looks good, not, I mean, like, all my affairs, like, the sincerity in trying to do better today, like, it's important to me. The 11th step is huge, man. That's my juice. Like, I seek the knowledge of the of my higher power's will for me, but the power to carry it out, like, to have the willingness to do it, because it's not easy. A lot of times, one of my friends was talking about Dot Tally recently, and about Dot always saying, like, you walk with God, sometimes you walk alone. And sometimes, like, standing up on principles and doing the right thing is not smiled upon. Like, you know, we can make some enemies here because, like, you know, the truth is the truth. And sometimes, like, people who have been in part of my process for a while and I care about them, and, like, they're kind of, like, stepping away, and some calling me names and so forth. And it's like, you know, I got to pray about it, and I got to look, like, you know, stay connected through the 10th step and the 11th step, like, with what I'm doing. And the part of me is, like, just wants me to go with the flow. And, like, I just can't, man. I've been to too many funerals. I've seen too many kids in boxes. And, like, you know, being quiet about this disease doesn't help anybody. So anyway, like, I, you know, I'm seeking my higher power's will for me on a daily basis, and that's so important in my life, because I've come to find that for me, like, my nature is not that of the addict that I always thought it was. When I did step work, like, I came to believe that there was, like, I was an addict, so, like, this was my will and this was God's will, and, like, they were polar opposites. And what I've come to find through this process is that my will is more God's will than I ever thought it was. So when I stay here connected and I do the right thing, like, there's no inner turmoil that goes on. Like, when I step off the path and I know I stepped off the path, I know it immediately, because there's, you know, my God consciousness is in conflict. And, like, the more that I stay here, the more that I stay aligned with God's will, like, the less conflict I have, the more my life flows. It's like I'm swimming with the current, and it's become, like, what I do. So, like, not that I don't go against it, but when I do, I'm so aware of it, like, it's painful. It's, like, very noticeable and very painful. And, like, for me, when I pray about it and I search what's really going on, the one thing that I always come back to is, like, if I'm trying to live God's will and I'm trying to help people, I come from a place where that there was no hope, a dark place. It was like a room with no doors, hopeless place, and I accepted that was my life and that's where I was going to be. And Narcotics Anonymous showed me a door out of there. It gave me a door. And I have countless friends who never found that door. They stayed in that place until they took their own life or they OD'd or whatever, like so many of them who couldn't find the door. And like, how can I possibly have this gift given to me and turn my back on Nene? How can I have found that door and not help other people try to find the same door? You know? So if I am living in God's will, like, I just, it doesn't line up. Like, I know a lot of people around 7-8 years, there's this exodus leaving Narcotics Anonymous because they get all this stuff in their life that takes precedence over this. And I understand that we have lives and we get overwhelmed with the blessings of NA. And that's what they are, the blessings of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's like, I always equate it to, like, in my mind, I see this tree, and there's this huge tree with all these branches and leaves, and if you labeled them all, they would be, like, my children, and, like, off parole, and like, not having to look over my shoulder, and all these different huge blessings that have gone in my life. Being able to, my dad knowing me clean before he died, like, just priceless gifts. But the trunk of the tree is Narcotics Anonymous. And if you remove the trunk, none of those things can survive. And so I look at it like the gratitude, what this thing has given to me in order to, like, honor, cherish, value the gift I've been given, then I have to give it. It's like a circuit. I got to show up, I got to get it, and I got to give it. And if I stop doing one of them, I'm no longer a circuit. I'm going to burn out. And I think that's my personal responsibility with Narcotics Anonymous. That's all I have. Thanks.